It's crazy, wacky stuff with the news, according to me. Good evening, but good morning. It's morning and evening at the same time. It is the beginning of the day, sunset on Monday evening. I had planned on having a show this morning, or at least last night. I was planning on doing a show last night, actually, and posting it this morning. I didn't get that done simply because I was delayed last night in many ways. Didn't get to where I needed to go. Ended up going through Boston yesterday. I am currently in Baltimore. I'm in Baltimore, where they talk funny there. Everybody has a speech impediment here. They talk really funny here in Baltimore. So I'm here in Baltimore this evening. I've been here all day. I'm leaving out of here tomorrow morning. I am probably not going to have a show tomorrow morning due to the early nature of my departure, unless I really got up super early to do it. I probably could do that because it's still early enough in the day. Right now it is 6:42 Eastern Standard Time, and I probably will go to bed early, probably get up early, but I just don't want to get up and have to deal with the production issue of this particular podcast, even though it would be a better time for me probably to do it in the morning. But it's I really feel like I need to weigh in on some of the things that have happened here, especially last week with the whole issue with Trump and Zelensky and everything that happened in the Oval Office, and give you my take on it. Now, I didn't want to respond right away because my initial thought was, and when I just saw it on its face, I actually watched it. I think it was live. I think I saw it a live broadcast of it, I believe. If not, I just watched it the first time. I watched it apparently, what was weird to me was in all the negotiations that went on, everything that happened, everything that was talked about, and everybody made this big kerfuffle about everything. They were not talking about. It was what they weren't talking about, I guess, they were not talking about, that really kind of, I guess, had me a little bit aghast. They were not talking about what's in my cup. And I have, right now I have chai with me. I actually brought chai with me. But I didn't bring creamer. Of course, it's a little harder to bring liquid creamer that has to be refrigerated when I go on a trip like this. So I have some original creamer that was here in the room that I'm staying in tonight. So I have that. I have in my backup cup. I actually have a backup cup and a backup bottle. I have a backup cup. I went to a Cracker Barrel for supper today. I had a little bit of a workout. Went on about a 30-minute walk over to Cracker Barrel, about 2 miles away, and then I didn't get very good service there. Granted, they were a little busy. They didn't have very many servers. They weren't that busy people wise. The restaurant was only about half full, but they didn't have very many servers. It was kind of early in the day, I guess, to have too many servers there. Maybe I don't remember. Maybe they're just having a hard time getting help. But the server I had was not. Let's just say she wasn't at the top of her game. She's not going to win any competitions. However, their sweet tea there is very, very good. Which I did not consider. I really didn't expect. I guess even when you go to a Southern style restaurant in Baltimore, you just don't expect to have decent sweet tea anywhere unless it comes from a soda fountain. I mean, they have this like processed sweet tea crap that's not really sweet tea. It's not brewed. You don't know how to brew sweet tea here, even though here I am in Maryland. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump to Boston and Boston Tea Party. You'd think that they'd know how to make tea at the tea in the harbor over by the, it'd be a harbor tea place or something. Probably not, because they probably charge too many taxes there. So I have this chai, and I also have this backup cup. And usually, I've noticed lately, when you get a cup to go at Cracker Barrel, typically now, at least the Cracker Barrels I usually go to, they hand you this little bitty styrofoam cup, about the size of a small coffee cup, if it's even that big, and they fill it full of ice and they put a little bit of sweet tea in there, and that's supposed to be your to-go cup. Well, that didn't happen. This particular one, she kind of redeemed herself here at the end when I asked for a cup to go. Of course, it took half an hour to get it. Maybe not quite that long. It seemed like a half an hour. The The cup I got is a large. It's as large as anything I've ever gotten from a fast food restaurant. I would say it's just as large or larger than a large cup of anything at McDonald's or even Chick-fil-A. However, it's not an insulated styrofoam cup. It is just a clear cup. It's just a clear plastic cup, which actually makes it, I think it has more volume to it because there's not as much cup there, but so there's actually a little bit more volume inside the cup. But anyway, it is extremely good sweet tea. I have to say, I'm going to be sipping on that I'm going to be saving that overnight. I'm going to drink a lot of it tonight. I'm going to be saving that for tomorrow. I do have quite a bit of travel time tomorrow. I'm probably getting home kind of late. I have to go through Buffalo, of all places. And get all that taken care of. But I do want to talk about a few things with regard to some things that have happened. Now, of course, there's some other breaking news this evening that I want to talk about as well, which is kind of a shock. It's not really a shock, but it's kind of a shock that they found this stuff. And it's amazing to me that the news media is actually reporting on some of it because of course, the legacy media is not doing it. So CNN and MSNBC are not so much reporting on it, but I am impressed with some of the other coverage from some other places and some of the pieces that people are talking about. This literally is just breaking tonight about what happened today, about what they found. They kind of busted a human trafficking ring that is huge. It is a nationwide human transport type thing going on. And they are literally, they've kind of busted it wide open in terms of knowing who they are, where they are. I think there's a lot of people on the run still that are in charge of this thing, but they're going after it quite substantially. We'll talk about that a little bit more probably tomorrow in the next podcast. Now, this is going to be posted tomorrow morning. So when you're hearing this, it'll probably be posted around 6:30 or 7 o'clock tomorrow morning is what I'm planning on doing, just recording it tonight, posting it tomorrow morning. There's an automated posting system, so I can put it up on the net. That way, if I die in the middle of the night, it'll still be posted tomorrow and you'll still get your news according to me, even though I'm dead. So, news according to the dead me, I guess that's what it should be called. I'm not planning on dying tonight, but, stuff happens. You never know. So, in the meantime, I am... talk about the whole Zelensky thing. Now, the first time I heard it, I was a little bit taken back, and it almost sounded as if Trump was kind of going off the rails. And I can see how an emotional person who wasn't paying attention to what was being said would kind of take it as a diplomatic failure on Trump's part. I can understand it. I can see it. However, the second time I watched it, I listened to the words that were being said. And I listened to the full context. I listened to the entire meeting, how it all went, how it started, some of the pretext information that I got about what this meeting was about, what the discussions that had gone on prior to this, who Zelensky met with prior to this as well, plays into this whole process. And after listening to it again and listening to the actual words that were said, and then specifically listening to Zelensky's voice. Now, keep in mind, I'm a vocal guy. I pay attention to voice stuff. If you just listen, there's something about Zelensky's voice that has always bothered me. Always. He has. There's different kinds of portrayal, and this is where we get into voice acting a little bit more and talk about that kind of thing. When you portray a character, now I believe that Zelensky has for so long portrayed a character that has become almost his identity in public. It has become his public persona, and he cannot break it because he actually has kind of become this figment of his own imagination, basically. It's a made-up caricature that he has to talk the way he talks and say the things he says, and because it has gotten him billions and billions and billions of dollars flooding in. You don't think he's tapping his toe in this stream of money. If you don't think that, then this is a guy who's canceled elections. Now, I don't care what you say or what you think about this guy, what some people say about him. If you are a pastor, if you are a church leader in Ukraine and you speak out against the war, you are going to go to prison in Zelensky's Ukraine. They are persecuting Christians in Ukraine. This is a very little known fact, but it is a fact indeed. It's been well documented and proven. I'm not going to get into all the, we could go down that rabbit hole for a long time, but it's out there. Just look for the information. There are people, Tucker Carlson's talked about it. He made it very clear. He actually makes the case probably better than some do. Now, in the process of that, there is also other issues where he has canceled his elections. Why would you cancel elections? That to me just seems a little bit ridiculous, because think about how it was when we got attacked on 9/11 and how that carried George Bush through a second term. Basically, he was a wartime president. It's very difficult to, you know, people rally around and behind a president in that kind of a moment. In fact, if the election had been held the week after 9/11, George Bush probably would have won with 90% of the vote. It's just, that's how ridiculous people's emotional peaks are in those kinds of moments. They don't think rationally, they just think emotionally. If the people of Ukraine were really behind the guy and behind, you know, saving their country and fighting for what they had, they would have definitely, because he was, you know, he was a pro-war, wartime president. They would have voted him in handily, but he canceled the elections without really any explanation why. I think he just wanted to make sure that there was no possibility, no chance of him losing the election. Now, having said that, there is a faction, I think he was trying to play. He says he's not playing. I'm not playing cards. He's trying to be this tough guy. And it's this persona, this projection, this portrayal, I should say, not projection necessarily, but this portrayal of the tough guy, the tough wartime president. He was actually confronted about why he's not wearing a suit in the Oval Office. And somebody actually asked him the question, why aren't you wearing a suit? You know, everybody wears a suit. Well, because I'm a war president and I have to. He has to have this image of having his sleeves rolled up, having his camos on, and he just got back from the war front. He's traveling all over the world. He's hardly ever in Ukraine. Look, your country is being attacked by Russia. And what happens? You have heads of state. You have actors, Hollywood types, all kinds of sports athletes visiting Ukraine, visiting the country that's under attack by Russia. You're at war with Russia and people are visiting your country to raise awareness and to promote the underdog. People are getting tired of this. I'm amazed at some of the travel that's gone on with the people who've visited a country that's under attack. And you can't tell me that security is so good around Zelensky that if Putin wanted to eliminate him, he would. I mean, you know, he could reach out and touch someone, I'm sure. So I just don't feel like we're getting the whole story with this whole thing. The left, of course, their heads are exploding because they shouldn't have this kind of a negotiation out in public. This damages every. No, this is what the American people. We are the government. The government is foreign by the people. We better know what's going on behind some of these closed doors. I want to see what these people are like. And sure enough, we have definitely seen that now, haven't we? We are seeing the attitude this guy has. And I have to say, I've had it with this guy. I've never been so totally, you know, I was all for the people of Ukraine fighting for their land and fighting back against this attack that happened to them. It's sickening. But it's the government and this person who's milking all of this attention that, in my opinion, is becoming sickening to me. When he talks like this, I am a war president. Everything he was saying, when you really look at what was going on there, the way he wouldn't stop and just listen to Trump or J.D. Vance. You've come here with your hand out, asking for our help, asking for more of our money. We've provided more than three times as much money as all of Europe combined in terms of funding that we know of, and there's probably more. And you come to our country, you sit in our Oval Office with our head of state, the highest office in the land, and you don't allow that man to speak. This is extremely disrespectful. He continued to try to interrupt President Trump, J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, entirely, throughout the entire conversation. Now, you have to understand what happened here. As they were discussing this, what he was bringing up with this whole thing about how we had other agreements and now what he was trying to say, I think what my understanding here anyway of what Zelensky was trying to say was that Putin had signed other ceasefire agreements and didn't abide by them. Well, it's because they broke them. So he's trying to make this out to be a Putin thing that he's not going to. When he made this statement about how you have an ocean, basically what he's saying is you have an ocean that separates you from Russia, so you're over here safe and sound, but he's soon going to be over here, and you're going to feel Russia on your shores. That's basically what he's trying to say is if you fail in Ukraine, he's going to continue to take over all of Europe, and then you're going to feel him on your own shores. And this is just a straw man tactic. It's a gaslighting tactic again. And Trump said the right thing. You don't tell us how to feel. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. This is about stopping this war. And you've got a chance to do that right here, right now. And you're messing it up. You don't have any cards. You either play with us the way this is an agreement. This is going to stop the war. Now, I'm not exactly sure what all the rare earth stuff is that's happening here, how that all, it does give us interest in Ukraine that nationally that I know gives us an excuse to protect those interests rather than just throwing money at them. We now have an interest there. We have rights to their rare earth material, which gives us defense rights. Now, in the process of doing that, we will also have an agreement with Putin, and I liked what Trump said. He said, I'm not aligning myself with Putin. I'm aligning myself with you. I'm aligning myself with the American people, with America. We're doing what's best for our country, and we're going to stop this war because he doesn't want to see any more killing. Kids are dying over there. It needs to stop. War never does anything good. It just brings about poverty and all kinds of other issues, lots of killing and maiming. We still have war veterans here that have lost limbs, destroyed families, mentally damaged, physically damaged, financially damaged soldiers that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, wars that we didn't necessarily win, because nobody wins. It just creates poverty on both sides. Now, there's one other thing I want to cover. It is this issue of an event that happened in Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I think it was, I don't know what town it was now, I can't remember. I think it was actually Boston. I believe it was actually Boston. In Chick-fil-A, there was a man wielding a knife and threatening people and saying he was going to stab some people. Police officer came in, to the situation, asking to put down the knife, the whole situation. Basically, was operationally almost obligated to take the man's life with his gun. He didn't give him any choice. He wouldn't put the knife down. It was definitely a justified shooting on the police officer's part in protecting people that were there. The mayor came out and said that her condolences were to the family of the attacker. And this set off some kind of weird trigger among people on the right. Now, I get it. I get the understanding. I understand that this guy was, he was the bad guy, and he got, but I don't know his whole story. I don't know why he was acting the way he was. Was he off his meds? Was he on too many meds? Was he somehow a victim of something in society? There is that potential, that is that equation, part of the equation, that we have to consider. The man is not just an animal, he is a human being, and he does have family. He has, I'm sure, has or has had parents, possibly children, maybe a wife, maybe other, we don't know. And I don't think it's so bad necessarily to console or to have condolences go to his family members. They've lost someone. And I just don't see the ire that has been stirred up by certain politicians and others on the right about how audacious it is for this woman to say that her condolences go out to the attacker's family. I don't have a problem with that. However, at the same time, I think that there should be an extreme amount of emphasis put on the officer's family, the officer who had to take the other man's life. There should be 10 times more said about the honor and the pride that the community should have in the fact that man stood up when someone needed to stand up. He did the right thing. And that needs to be exalted above all, because he did the right thing. And it's almost as if it's almost worse than vilifying the man, the officer, to ignore the officer and just pretend like he was some kind of machine. I've known officers who've taken another man's life. I've talked to them. I've worked with some of them. Some of them have left law enforcement to do other things. In fact, I know a pilot that I used to fly with quite a bit. He left law enforcement because he had to shoot someone one night. And he tried to hang in for another, he didn't even make it another year in the force, because he just, every day, he was reminded of it. And while he knew he did the right thing, there was this thing eating at him inside that just always bothered him. And he just didn't want to have to deal with it anymore. This happens a lot. Most officers never have to even draw their gun. But there are those who are in high crime areas and high risk areas that do a lot. Some of them have to draw their gun more than once in their career, let alone fire their gun. And it is a traumatic experience. It is a post-traumatic counseling situation that some people can't get over. Most of them try to face those issues prior to getting into them, but you just have no idea the weight of that, of what happens. There's just no circumstance that you can put yourself in to prepare yourself for such a thing. So it bothers me more, and one of the things that will heal a person faster than anything is having recognition for having done the right thing, just having the community recognize it and be thankful and grateful and say, you know, we're sorry that this had to happen to the other person. We're also sorry that you had to be the one to do it. But we're grateful for what you did because it was the right thing to do. And that's, I don't think they hear that enough. I know there's counselors out there that work with people like this, you know, at post-event stuff and work through all the issues, but it just, it's an issue that will be with them for the rest of their lives. And I think to give too much weight to the condolences to the family of the deceased can have a strange effect, I think, in that respect. Because it ignores the fact of the trauma that the other person who's still with us, who did the right thing, has to go through. So I don't know. That's where I'm at. And I wish the some of these people on the right would back off of their ire for this mayor saying what she said. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with what she said. I just think that the emphasis may have wanted to be pushed a little bit in the other direction. So that's where I stand with that issue. Now I want to get back one more thing with this, the issue of the smuggling ring. I didn't really finish up with this whole thing with Zelensky. I'll talk about that at the end. The smuggling ring apparently has been busted wide open, and there's going to be there's a huge investigation going on right now. This whole thing is like nationwide. It goes all the way from Los Angeles to New York. It was a Honduran group that was doing it. So pretty much a very well-organized cartel, basically, that's operating within the United States. One of the individuals involved in it was actually, I believe, at one point caught when there's some kind of an accident happened and a lot of migrants were killed. This is the kind of thing that, you know, the left supports this. The left, you know, wants this to happen. They just see these people just picking your crops. Who's going to pick your crops? Who's going to clean your toilets? Well, they're not. They're human beings. They're not slaves. Okay, they're not an underclass that we can just have here to do the work jobs that Americans don't want to do. So if they become Americans, they won't want to do them. Is that what you're saying? Well, and by the way, this the initial one of the ways these cartels are funded. It's not just by the people who are paying the cartels to get them over here. There is money funding coming through a lot of the Soros-funded organizations, a lot of the NGOs. Joe Rogan had a very, very good podcast recently where he was interviewing Elon Musk again and talking about the whole Doge thing, but they have cracked the nut open on this whole thing where how the money was being funneled back to apparently tens of thousands of NGOs, non-government organizations, that are getting money from USAID and other channels to the tune of billions of dollars. They've just been sloshing this money around everywhere, and I think what we're going to find is this whole thing is just going to dry up because there's no financial support for this kind of thing on the left. They've just been portraying this idea that they have so much support and they're the mainstream. It is all a facade, and it's being held up by all this fake and phony slush fund money. And I think the transparency is what we need, regardless of who's fault, you know, who's behind it all. We need transparency. Just like seeing the negotiation going on with Zelensky, seeing how the man actually acts, he's just a petulant child. To just sit there and continue to mumble under your breath while the other person is trying to tell you something, it just reminded me of not even a 12-year-old. This is more like a 10-year-old, a rebellious 10-year-old. That's what it reminded me of. And I want to finish up by talking about this whole thing about with social media and how they're responding to this whole thing with Zelensky. You know, he met with the Democrats and Lindsey Graham prior to the meeting with the president, and they had this deal going. They had it going. Now, what amazed me, I guess I was pretty shocked, actually amazed, and I'm not going to play it for you, but Lindsey Graham actually came out and, you know, basically said he was very proud of the president, and he was very upset with Zelensky for the way he acted in the Oval Office. I was kind of shocked by that. I thought for sure that Lindsey Graham was going to come out and berate the president over this. He didn't. I was kind of shocked about that. Now, granted, right now, he realizes the popularity of Trump, and he knows he has to align himself with Trump, and he has to... Lindsey Graham is a weasel, and he's a snake, and he's a slimy individual. I can't even stand to listen to the guy talk anymore. But the fact of the matter through this whole thing is that the Democrats, and mostly Democrats and some of the rhinos, met with Zelensky prior to the meeting with the president, and I believe they set him up. I believe they convinced him that regardless of what the president said or did, that they were, you know, all on his side. Of course, this is very easy to see when you recognize and realize that Zelensky was very much in favor of Biden. He thought Biden was going to win. He was actually almost practically campaigning for Biden when he came here at one point visiting. Of course, now Biden was in office at the time, so he had to kiss up to Biden because he was actually the president at that time. However, there was a conversation between Biden and Zelensky that never got much news play, where Biden basically was yelling at him, telling him he needed to be more grateful. He comes over here and acts like he's entitled to our support. And now it has put Europe and the European leaders in a very awkward situation. They want to disagree with what Trump said, but they realize they can't take Trump off right now. They need our support. They need our trade. They need our economic contract, so to speak, our ability to continue to do business with them, and they need our protection. At the same time, they're saying they're willing to step up and help protect Zelensky because it's in their backyard. They're finally recognizing the fact this is in their backyard. If they don't do something, nobody else. If we're not going to do anything, it's up to them. And I think that they realize that we're getting very weary of having to support the basically be the world's police at this point. And I think that message has gotten through to them that this administration is not going to bow to that anymore. Zelensky claims, apparently, is talking as almost as if he's going to go, he's going to wait it out. You're going to wait another 3.5 years? And you think that do you think that the next president is going to be a Democrat? I don't know, folks. The Democrat Party's on the ropes right now. They're going to have a very hard time. And they're also setting up, there's some legal things that are happening with some of Trump's executive orders. They're setting up an impeachment trap. That's what they're setting up. And of course, they're going to lose most of this because the Supreme Court is going to basically be on, they're doing things that are very unconstitutional, let's just put it that way. And they're trying to get Trump into a trap of where they can basically say that this is an impeachable offense. The judiciary does not have control over the executive branch's ability to negotiate with foreign powers. And that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to, and that's because most of the USAID money was, you know, executively controlled. It was basically, a treaty has to be signed. Basically, the administration goes out, set up a treaty, like this deal with Zelensky. So they were going to set up a treaty agreement, have an agreement, this treaty agreement. They're going to sign this thing. Then it would go to the Senate. The Senate has to pass it. It was basically two-thirds of the Senate majority has to pass this in order to ratify it. So they can make some changes, and it goes back to the president. He signs off on it. But it has to pass by two-thirds. Otherwise, it's not a valid treaty. It doesn't matter. Now, the president can still do business with them and try to trade and do other things in spite of that, even if the Senate doesn't you know, acknowledge or go with it. The president still has some powers to do things financially and do some things here and there, but not it's very limited at that point. So, now I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm just telling you what my opinion is and what I think I know about this stuff. You can correct me if you want to. Go ahead. I'll give you 5 seconds. Actually, I think I gave you 6. So thank you very much for correcting me on all that. In the meantime, folks, I just want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for continuing to pray. Thursday, Friday morning, there will be a show. Unless I'm having to do jury duty. There's a possibility I may be doing jury duty on Thursday. So if that happens, I don't know what time I have to be there and all those kinds of things. I don't know what's going to happen with all that. I may not even have to report. I'll find out Wednesday night what happens on Thursday. But in the meantime, I will try to get a show in for you all those days. And so this show will be posted Tuesday morning. And that's right now. When you're listening to it right now, it's Tuesday morning. Well, maybe you're listening to it on Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe you listen to them a day later. I don't know. Well, whatever time it is where you are when you're listening to this, that's what time it is. If you look at your watch right now, that's what time it is. Unless your watch is broken, then it's not what time it is. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for praying for our nation, praying for each other. We continue to press on, and we will make our way forward and continue to follow what God is calling us to do. So I just thank you for all your support, your prayers. Folks, take care. Have a great week. God bless. See ya.